September 2013, an unknown correspondent wrote to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein with an Arabic greeting before asking Epstein, "Who do you know in South Africa beside President Mandela and President Zuma?" Epstein replied, "Many." Now, Epstein was a known exaggerator, but on this point, there's evidence to suggest he was telling the truth. I'm Rebecca Davis, senior journalist for Daily Maverick. The tranche of 3 million new records released by the US Department of Justice relating to Epstein show that Epstein's South African ties stretch back as far as the 1980s. The emails show that the late South African hotelier Saul Kersner's chief of staff emailed Epstein in 2010 to ask for a New York meeting with Kersner. Epstein's email account responded with a reminder that Epstein and his co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, had met Kersner through a mutual friend and also reminded Kersner that his first contact with Epstein and Maxwell was in the 80s. There are references within the emails to Epstein holding meetings with South African-born former Glencoe CEO Ivan Glasenberg. Businessman Rob Herzog's contact details are found in Epstein's address book. And in an October 2014 exchange, Epstein advised a contact to approach African Rainbow Minerals CEO Patrice Motsepe for investment in a business plan. How the Motsepe-related exchange came about was that Epstein was asked by a contact who to approach for possible investment in an unspecified business project. The contact provided Epstein with a list of potential investors, including Motsepe and a number of Hollywood actors and directors. Epstein replied that of the list, Motsepe and two others, quote, "most likely to help you with money." Epstein continued, "I have some ideas. You can be a conduit from black wealth to Silicon Valley. Why are there so few blacks in Silicon Valley? Great opportunity." There is no indication that Glasenberg, Herzog, or Motsepe knew Epstein beyond his business identity as an international financier or participated in anything improper. Herzog has told News24 that he just met Epstein once at a New York cocktail party. Epstein seems to have simply collected wealthy or influential people who might be of use to him down the line. But the Epstein files also make clear that Epstein's interest in South Africa went far beyond the country's power brokers. It was South Africa's women that seemed to have preoccupied Epstein the most. At a number of points in the emails, he expresses a desire to employ South African nationals without specifying why. "Find me a South African assistant," he wrote to an unknown person in November 2011. In September 2011, he asked another unknown correspondent, "Do you have or know of a great South African manager that would like to run my 6 houses?" We know that South Africans did end up on his staff. One email planning travel specifies that Epstein will be accompanied by a South African personal assistant, while it has been well documented that a couple from Jeffreys Bay helped manage hospitality on Epstein's Caribbean island for close to a decade. The emails also reveal that Epstein started sending money to South African recipients as far back as 2003. The financier's Chase Morgan account was used to wire amounts ranging from $500 to $6,000 between February 2003 and April 2004 to Standard Bank accounts in South Africa. Now, because the account numbers are redacted, it's impossible to say whether there was just one recipient or multiple. In January 2010, the South African payments started up once more after an unknown person emailed Epstein's staffer to say, "Jeffrey asked me to send you my account details," with another Standard Bank account linked to a Cape Town branch presented. Between January and December 2010, Epstein sent at least $34,000, almost 250,000 rand at the time, to one or multiple Standard Bank accounts. The purpose of the payments is unclear, and Epstein appears to have been transferring money to many countries. In one particularly chilling exchange from emails with a person who appears to be a girl in Brazil, she supplies, quote, "my mom's bank account details," requests a certain amount of money, and adds, "I've spoken to the doctor and we will be able to get it done tomorrow." The money, in other words, was almost certainly for a medical procedure. The emails also reveal that Epstein had a number of intermediaries supplying him with the pictures and profiles of South African girls keen on international modeling, or what the girls assumed was international modeling. One email of this kind to Epstein, sent in June 2014, said simply, "she would like to travel to Paris or New York," with pictures of a Cape Town woman attached. Epstein seems to have made heavy use of a so-called scout called Daniel Siad, who is described in another email as a recruiter of girls and or women for Jay Epstein. Chat logs show Siad sending Epstein pictures of girls from various world cities for review. On one such occasion, indicating the level of control he expected to exercise over his victims, Epstein responds to pictures with the comment, "She is nice, her boobs are awful, they will have to be redone." One of the cities Siad prowled for Epstein was Cape Town, which Siad described to Epstein as a place where the potential of girls was huge. At one point, another redacted correspondent even plotted with Epstein about luring in an unnamed young South African man using the same kind of acquisitive language that Epstein used for women. Epstein's friend wrote, "We need to find a way to get this boy for my birthday. I will send you details and then I need to devise a plan of action. He's 24 and I just want even half an hour with him. I spoke to him last night. He was holding my hand and speaking Afrikaans to me." One of Epstein's most high-profile survivors has been South African Juliet Bryant, who was awarded financial compensation from Epstein's estate after his death. You can read Bryant's harrowing account on Daily Maverick. The full extent of Epstein's South African network may never be known. While these newly released documents reveal a pattern of predatory behavior that stretched across continents, they represent only a fraction of his activities. But taken together, the newly released records sketch a disturbing picture of how Epstein folded South Africa into his global system of exploitation as a place where elite connections, lax scrutiny, and the aspirations and financial need of young people could be leveraged to his advantage. For South Africans, the Epstein files are a reminder that transnational sexual abuse networks do not respect borders.